I'm really pleased and honored to introduce our next storyteller, who I consider a wonderful friend of mine. And by the way, all the storytellers who are not invited, sorry Richard, sorry Matt, will be entered into a drawing because I'm going to pick one of those storytellers to receive a copy of Richard's book, which is Passing Through, an Existential Journey Across America's Outback. Richard also has several books. Another one is Virtue is Its Own Punishment, a memoir of growing up Mormon. But I have to tell you, Richard is a unique individual. I'm sure you'll find that out. He spent more than a half a century roaming the back roads of the American West in search of nonconformists, misfits, and visionaries to write about. Now you know why we know each other. His byline has appeared in dozens of newspapers and magazines and on the cover of two books. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Richard Menzies.
Doug Caputo is my number one fan, as Kathy Bates famously said to James Caan in Misery. I wasn't really worried until earlier this evening when he told me to break a leg. This is a story about my attempt to befriend inmate number 113858, public enemy number one. I grew up in Carbon County. Because my name starts with an M and has a Z in it, everyone thought it was a Mexican, which was fine by me because bullies left me alone. They thought I might be related to Martinez and Marquez and Mendoza and all these top-ranked pugilists in the playground. But I'm actually Scottish. My great-grandfather emigrated from Glasgow, hoping to join the gold rush to Western Australia, but he got on the wrong boat. Ended up joining the coal rush to Utah. By 1900, he was living in winter quarters it's a suburb of Schofield, about the time of the great Schofield mine disaster. It's terrible weather up there, and his sons decided to seek lower elevations. Some went down one side of the mountain, some went down the other. Now, I was vaguely aware there's another bunch of Menzieses just on the other side of the mountain. I always asked about that. I would ask my Aunt Belva. She said, they're not our relatives. But I knew that wasn't true because I know that everyone named Menzies in Utah is a relative of mine. And that was a matter of some concern or high interest when in the mid-80s, I noticed in the newspaper headlines like Menzies sentenced to die by firing squad. So I had to read farther. I said, God, I hope that library fines haven't caught up to me. It turns out that Ralph Leroy Menzies, quite a long criminal record, but he'd been convicted of a terrible crime for which he was sentenced to death. Now, I never met Ralph, but I started thinking, I thought, this could be some money in it for me. This could be, Truman Capote made money off this, Norman Mailer. I thought of the title, The Roots of Evil. I wanted to find out how Ralph ended up on death row, and I'm such a nice guy. So I dashed off a query to the New Yorker, and then I sent a letter to Ralph Menzies in the Utah State Prison. I haven't heard back from the New Yorker, but for 30 years I've been corresponding with Ralph. Now, the thing that struck me about his letters compared to his scary pictures on the television is what a nice letter. He's not stupid, he can spell. Composition is good. He's obviously not stupid. And he's very flattering. He told me he'd heard about me, admired my work, and he'd like to meet me. Well, we exchanged letters for a while. And finally, I thought, well, I'll go visit him. I've never been to the prison before. He lives in a unit called the Uinta Unit, Supermax, which is a prison inside the prison. It's a very scary place. You can't take anything in there, not a notebook, a pencil, a camera, anything. I was ushered into this cold concrete building, and by and by, I'm facing this inch-thick plexiglass shield, and here comes this hulking person in an orange jumpsuit covered with tattoos. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm glad he's on that side of the glass. Anyway, we conversed about just nothing in particular. I didn't get any useful information. So we bid farewell. I was glad to get out of there. Our letters continued, and bye-bye, I got a birthday card. I thought, how did he know it's my birthday? And then I got a Christmas card. So I thought, well, I better send Ralph a present. But you can't bake him a cake or send him a toolkit or Swiss Army knife or anything. So you have to remit a money order to the prison inmate fund for which Ralph can redeem something at the prison commissary, which is not Costco, but he can get some Skittles or something for Christmas, like brighten his life. So he was happy for that. We continued some more letters back and forth. And I always thought these letters are great. They got out of prison somehow. They escaped the impermeable walls of the Uinta unit. And then I got a message from another inmate, Michael Archuleta. He'd heard I was a photographer and he wanted me to Photoshop a picture of his face into his family group, which it kind of looked silly, but I did it. His head was a little bigger than everybody else's, and he didn't have any body attached to it. But I thought, how is all this stuff getting through? Because it's all this super security. These walls are more permeable than I thought. The thing goes on, and I start to get concerned. I thought, everything I send has my address on it, my name, and now all nine inmates on death row know where I live. Hoping to find out more about Ralph, I managed to infiltrate a reunion of the Menzies clan from the other side of the mountain. I was surprised to learn that they're not really outlaws. There were a lot more pickup trucks than Subarus. They're mostly working class, but fairly decent people. They spread all over. One of them has a restaurant in Montana, Senor Menzies. So I'm waiting. This story is on hold. And this story goes on. I see that my time does not. But Ralph is constantly appealing his conviction. And in 2004, they abolished the firing squad, which he had asked for. So he appealed that. And then in 2014, Governor Herbert reintroduced the firing squad, probably just trying to get rid of Ralph. But the fact is, nobody really wants to kill anybody. Capital punishment is falling out of favor, and in particular, firing squad, which draws a lot of unwanted publicity. So to make a long story short, I am bound to continue to send him money every Christmas because I don't want to get on his bad side. Because one of the things he started to say in his letters, he talks about all the wonderful things we can do when he gets out. And all I want is to keep him on the other side of that plexiglass shield. Now, over time, some lifers, some inmates become more attractive. They clean their act up. Women fall in love with condemned men. I don't know why. I think they're not looking for a long-term relationship. But Ralph is different. He's gotten worse every year. He looks worse and worse. He looks now like the picture of Dorian Gray. And I don't know where this is going to end, but my story is dead if it can't end in a climactic execution. Here's what I've learned about this experience. I've learned that freelance writing and crime don't pay. I've learned the most important thing in the world is respect for inmates. Every letter Ralph has ever sent me ends with respect. And I realize it's more important than love or anything else in prison. And it's probably the reason a lot of people end up in prison, because they were not respected. I sometimes wonder when I talk about, Ralph thinks of me as his friend, but obviously I was playing him as he's been playing me. I wonder sometimes, does he have any real friends? And the fact is he does. The best friends he's ever had are his fellow condemned men, one of whom was Joseph Parsons, sometimes known as the unknown condemned man. He wasn't very well known, but in 1999 he decided that life on death row wasn't worth living, so he dropped all appeals. He made his last request was to have a hamburger from Burger King, the code being that I'm going to have it my way. And he asked his friends on death row to watch him go to the death house at midnight, and he asked if he could walk across the grass under the stars and that his friends would watch him go. Now, Ralph has kept paper over his single window in his cell all these years. He says that I don't want to see what's out there if I can't go there. But on this evening, to honor his friend's request, he took the paper down, as did his fellow condemned men. And at midnight, they all looked out their little windows and watched Joseph Parsons, known as Yogi, walk across the grass under the stars to the death house. That's my story. Thank you.